Tom, can you practice that opening one more time? Oh my God, my voice.
It's cracking like the sphincterotomies?
Sphincterotomy.
Okay.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of
I sounded like a fucking old lady. Like, fucking, what's her face?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0.
I thought 2. You muted me.
No.
That's why I was talking so loud.
Okay. Well, let's try that one more time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We're streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. All right, joining us today, of course, is Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale, also being our final one for 2021, which, wow, I can't believe that we're 2 weeks away from yet another year. But this month's topic is going to be all about the dangers of a lateral internal sphincterotomy, which I have no idea what it is, but I'm sure that we're going to find out, and we'll do so on the second half of the show. But in the meantime, we're just going to jump into the first half, which, of course, is a version of a personal dish today, per se. So I want to welcome everyone once again, and I'm going to, you know, just go around the table. Trish, how are you, girl? You're cracking over
Hi,
here.
Hi, y'all. Nick or Trish. Skipped a whole section.
J-Bear.
Y'all made me laugh.
She's on fast forward today. She's ready.
Welcome you all to The Dish.
All right. We're here. I'm here with my queens. Sorry. But she distracted me. What's...
I was channeling somebody.
Thank you.
God, I wouldn't pay attention to that shit for $1 million.
Oh my God, is that
Elaine Stritch?
Oh, I was gonna say,
I don't know what happened. It was like I opened my mouth,
like,
and
someone
it
who smoked for like 70 years and opened your mouth for the first time in 3.
That's what it felt like.
I think you need to get a railing.
It'll
loosen all that up.
That's right.
It's been 84 years.
Get a nice piece of penis in that mouth so you can stretch out those vocal cords, work them out a little bit, move things out of the way to have, you know, just built up.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
3 years. So, I cannot. How are you, darling?
Oh, you know. I'm here.
And she's queer.
Yeah.
Oh, very. So, what's going on with you?
Not much. I mean, we are right around the corner from Christmas and a new year, which is crazy.
Right.
And we've got a bunch of parties coming up.
That we do. We're going to be some crazy Ubering drunk bitches for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Are you doing anything with your family at all this Christmas? Or
I'm spending Christmas Eve and day with my brother and sister-in-law.
Of course. Now, baby girl's not here yet.
No.
Right?
No.
She's not due until like February? Mm-hmm. Right, so you have to wait a little bit longer, but that's cute though.
Yeah.
So is it going to be a sober Christmas? Because I mean, your brother's sober, right?
I mean, when I'm up there, I don't really drink because I don't have anything in the house, and I always feel weird bringing like.
Right.
Not I mean, that he but, cares. He doesn't care.
But, right, but that's a
like
good.
I might have like wine with dinner, but
right. Okay, well that's good.
Like, yeah.
So it'll be a sober Christmas for this one, not for me. What about you, darling? How are you?
Fantastical.
You only have one testicle? Because normally they come in pairs.
Testicles.
Okay, who's fantasticals?
Can I ask a quick question, though?
Yes, please.
When did it become, like, Christmas used to be, like, this fun thing. And when did it become, all right, Mom and Dad, just pay my cell phone bill?
I don't know. I mean,
do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Well, you have to think about, too, the generations, right? As more generations come into this world, slowly but surely, we're moving away from some of the traditions that people tend to sort of kind of grab to and or gravitate towards or even hold on to. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's more so like you see a lot of, for example, the traditionalist, a lot of baby boomers tend to hold on to traditions because for them, that was what their parents said. You must do this, right? And little by little, as we're starting to get new generations, that whole you must, right? We're moving away from.
But it also just became about practicality.
Right.
Like, mom, dad, don't send me a check. Just pay this bill.
Right.
It was like on my birthday.
Well, shit, I wish I could tell my mother that.
Well, your life is different.
I know.
But on my birthday, I got a check for $100 from my parents. And the next day, I get a text message from my father saying, your cell phone bill is due, which is $100. Yeah. Like, why did you send me a check?
Maybe he was saying, okay, why don't you use that money? He could have done that himself and said, happy birthday.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, but that's what I think, like, the newer generation, it gets that, right? And the older, you know, more traditional people tend to just sort of kind of want to stick to what they thought or what they were taught is something you must do, right? Like, you must celebrate every Easter. You must celebrate every Christmas. You got to do every Thanksgiving, and it's got to be done with family and blah, blah, blah. And while for the most part we meet up, some of the ways that we're engaging our family is different now, especially during COVID. I mean, think about it. We had Zoom Thanksgivings and all of these different things. It was a whole new different ballgame.
Well, what I will say is that I know that, you know, my cell phone bill will be paid this month, but what I really would like for Christmas is a new iPad. So, everybody that gives to our Patreon, if you want to bump that up a bit,
wink,
she is
wink,
nasty. Wink.
Santa's not coming to my house no more. No.
Actually, yesterday was my daughter's birthday. She turned 37. Roxanne, little Roxy, my sidekick.
Little Roxy is 37.
37.
Wow.
And so we went out to brunch, and we had there was like 8 of us, 9 of us.
Nice.
So I knew that, you know, usually what I tend to do is when we go out to dinner or whatever, I treat. So that was kind of like my treat for her. So she could have a good time and people don't have to worry about, you know, what's the bill going to be and who's going to pay what. And I've noticed that great parties, you know, start out fantastic. Uh-huh. And the bill shows up and that shit goes downhill quick.
Right.
So
right. Who's going to pay what? Well, yeah, I didn't eat as much as that person did. So why do I have to pay that much? Why can't I just pay for the things that I ordered?
Yeah. So I tend to know that's kind of like my thing for my girls. If they want to go out to dinner, fine, we'll go out to dinner. And then I just, you know, once everybody's kind of settling down, I'll get up to go to the bathroom and be like, here, just, you know, charge.
Yeah.
charge the dinner or the whatever it is.
Well, those are your girls too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very nice of you to do that.
Yep.
You know, like, I remember my Christmas or my Christmases, because there have been many, were amazing and fantastic because my family's very musical.
How many have there been?
Oh, many.
Like 40.
Oh, 400 of them.
Okay.
So she's nasty.
Yeah, I saw where she was going with that one.
She even took out her calculator just to make sure it was correct. I remember that my Christmases were very full of music and very musical, and we did what we called parrandas, right? Almost every person in my family has some sort of instrument. Whether it's your voice or a maraca or a gonga or a guitar or a cuatro or whatever it is, they have one. And, oh, she better work. She looks good.
Yes.
And, you know, all of that happened because of our matriarch, and that was my grandmother. And when my grandmother died in 2009, a lot of that went away.
Yeah.
Because she was the glue of the family. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there are people in my family that irritate the fuck out of me, but I dealt with it and put up with a lot of the craziness and a lot of the things that I just didn't want to put up with because of my grandmother, because I wanted to be and see her happy, and she was always singing, and the moment she passed away, that went away, you know. And it's sad, but I'm also, you know, in my older age, have become a loner per se. And I enjoy my alone time, and I'm not in the mood to be in a house with like 500 Puerto Ricans yelling, all of them at the top of their lungs. And you can't even hear yourself think in a house.
Oh, I know.
I can't do it.
Italians are the same way.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, my cousins live across the street from me, and my cousin cares for her mother. So her mother's my great aunt. She's 90 something, 91, right, I believe now. And her son is also, you know, musically inclined. He's been playing music. He used to, him and my dad had a, you know, Spanish band for years.
Right.
So yesterday they did a parranda, you know, a little parranda. It's just immediate family in the house, but they came in and they sat down and I posted a live video.
Yeah, yesterday. I know. I was going to ask you about that yeah. because, you know, I seen it.
I'm sure I'm probably thinking that's why you brought it up.
Yeah, pretty much. But then that immediately reminded me of my grandmother yes. and her love for it. And exactly. And your cousin, is yes, it your cousin? Yeah. He probably did it because he knows that his mother or grandmother yeah. really enjoyed that type of thing.
Correct.
And little by little, as generations keep growing up, we're getting away from
We're getting away from our roots.
That's changing.
That's always, it's our roots. And I think a lot of times, you know, as Latinos who are no longer living on the island, that's what keeps us connected to our heritage and
mm-hmm. right.
you know, where we come from, especially us, you know, that's the main thing within the family. Their dad was a musician, you know, my mom's uncle, technically. And it's been like that since we all known. And mm-hmm. it was funny because my younger cousins were there, which I thought by now, you know, they're kind of going to start straying away from these traditions, and they all showed up, the ones right. that are in the area. And they're like, oh my God, I missed this. We got to continue doing this stuff. But, right. you know, it's a matter of when things change, will they continue or
right.
not?
But you have your matriarch there.
Yes.
Right. So,
and that's you have the one glue. Of the main things that's
you have
there.
The glue. Yeah, exactly. And when the glue is gone,
yep.
what happens?
That changes.
And that's sort of kind changes. Of what happened in my
yeah.
family.
Yeah. You know? Let me tell you, Thanksgiving this year. So it was my first Thanksgiving without my grandmother.
Yes.
And she was literally the best cook in the entire world. I mean, like 100% Italian woman. She just blew it out of the water. It was amazing.
Right.
And so even if, you know, they decided to try a new recipe, well, grandma always watched over and made sure that it was going to be okay to be eaten. Well, this Thanksgiving, I don't know who did it, but somebody fucked up the sweet potatoes. Oh. And I don't know who did it, but grandma was not there to watch over. Right. And I took a bite of that shit, and I was like, who made the fucking sweet potatoes? Nasty. These are nasty as fuck. And my dad was like, shut the fuck up and eat. I was like, you're a dick. Like,
I'm not putting any shit in.
That's literally what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. It's
those noticeable changes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, right.
Rosie would have never let that happen.
Yep.
Right. It's amazing because you can instantly see the difference.
Yeah.
You know,
don't get me wrong. The food was great. But one dish,
sure. right.
it was that one dish. I'm like, what happened?
And I lost the glue of my family in 2009 on my father's side. And then my grandmother passed away, I believe, like 3 years ago. On my mother's side. So, and both of them had very unique things that they were super good at. And my grandmother on my mother's side would make this rice custard thingy. Mm. We call it arroz con dulce, and it was always so good.
But arroz con dulce?
Con dulce.
Con dulce. Yes.
Dur.
Dur.
Dulce.
Dulce.
There you go. You're rolling them R's, girl. You good. She Latina nice. Now.
Yeah.
No, but she would make this thing called arroz con dulce, and the recipe would call for raisins and cinnamon and blah, 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 but I don't like raisins. So she would make a whole, a whole batch just for me with no raisins, and nobody could touch that.
Oh,
she would kill somebody if somebody touched that, but she made it so good. And then she's no longer here, and I haven't had it since, and I don't think I'll ever have it, because
that's like gabbladina for me.
Gabbladina, explain. Explain.
Gabbladina is like an Italian eggplant. It's like a sauce, but it's also a dip, right? So it's like a tapenade, right?
Okay.
Basically,
I don't know what that is either.
It's eggplant that's cooked down, like, so it's almost thick. You can use it on top of pasta, or you can use it like to dip, you know, a cracker into.
Okay.
But it was my favorite thing that my grandma made. And so she would always make me some whenever I would go down to Florida. And then she started making two separate batches. And so one time I was like, Grandma, why are you making so much? And she was like, well, your dad keeps eating it all and you never get any. So you have one and he has one now.
Also, Carl loved it too. So it's something that, you know, it's generational.
Yep.
See, and those are the things you take with you, right? Mm. And you remember. And it's weird because you start remembering those things, and instantly you start remembering the way it it tasted. Like, and your mouth starts salivating. It's weird.
Yeah.
Because I was just talking about it, and immediately I went to the smell, the aroma behind it, the cinnamon, the love, how my grandmother smelled. Like, I loved her smell. Mm-hmm. She was just an amazing woman. And it just makes me very nostalgic.
Well, my grandma, like, fucked with me a little bit. I mean, the first time I had it, I was younger. And I loved it. And I just kept eating it, like, shoveling it in my mouth. And my grandma was like, oh, you like eggplant? I was like, no, I hate eggplant. Eggplant is gross. She's like, that's all eggplant, honey.
Gotta love them, though. What's your favorite holiday dish? Or do you have like a, it could be food or maybe some sort of dessert?
I don't know. It's weird with me because there's different things. So right. I guess I never have like that one, like desserts type of. I love bread pudding, so I learned how to make it myself.
Right.
So it's kind of, and then the way things were for us growing up, I mean, my mom raised 8 of us on her own. So
right.
Holidays wasn't about, you know, who's making the specialty dish. My mom would show up and
make sure everyone's fed. Yeah,
make sure you eat, and that's it. There wasn't any, you know, any specific thing that we made. Now, as I got older and started doing things on my own, bread pudding, definitely. For some reason, I developed a real affinity for custard pies, coconut custard pies. I mean, I just love them. I enjoy them all the time. So that's kind of like my go-to thing. But as far as like Spanish-based desserts, coquito.
Well, that's more
of a drink.
That's a drink. Yeah. It's more of an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
So, but it tastes delicious.
Yeah. So
and you make them.
Yeah, I make them now. So that you know. So stuff that I have tasted before in other places or other family events, I've learned to make.
Right. Will you make us coquito next week?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
I would have brought some today if you would have told me.
Yeah, well, he makes the different kinds. So he has your regular coquito, which,
coconut-based.
I've never had it.
He has a pistachio one.
Pistachio-flavored one.
And that's it?
That's all I'm doing now. I used to make red velvet. I used to make pumpkin spice. I used to make... You can make Oreo flavor.
Pumpkin spice. It's basic pumpkin white spice. Bitch coquito. Yes. Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, the people at work enjoyed it. I used to have a few other girls in the call center that wanted it, so... Right. I dabbled a bit. I did red velvet one year, red velvet coquito.
But I don't know. For me, I definitely
regular coconut
wouldn't
base.
Drink the pistachio one. I don't like pistachios to begin with.
Oh, really?
I don't. Again, I can't. There's certain nuts that I can't stomach. Pistachios is one of them.
Really? I'm shocked.
Right.
No nuts in your mouth? Really?
She does not discriminate. She likes all nuts. Yeah.
I get pistachios.
But yeah, no nuts.
No. Food wise, I think for me, I enjoy my pernil. Definitely pernil and ham.
Okay. Yes, I love pernil. But one of my other favorite holiday season traditions is pasteles. And if you can find someone that can make them really good, like the flavor of a pastel basically is in the meat.
Is that the thing that comes in the wrap?
Yes. So it's almost like a tamale, but just a Puerto Rican one, right? Yeah. It's our version of a tamale. And
tamales are corn-based.
Wait, doesn't your mom make them? Because I remember I had them.
No. That was my ex-sister-in-law's mother who make those, the ones that I buy. And I mean, anytime she makes them, I buy like 4 dozen.
They're so good.
It's like $80, but I buy them. Yeah. And I like them hot and spicy. So you can make a regular one and then the spicy version. And so I have that. I can eat that by myself.
I enjoy the yuca ones too.
Right. I've never had a yuca one. I had, because typically what it is, it's like plantains and a lot of different roots. Like they mash it up into a mass. And then they lay it out on the, paper. They
parchment
put the meat
paper.
And fold it over and seal it. Freeze them and then you give them away or sell them or whatever they do, but nonetheless, so delicious.
It's basically green bananas and potatoes. Some people add a little bit of pumpkin, and it's not a lot. It's root vegetables. You make the base for it, and then you flavor it to taste. So to that, you also add your achiote.
That's right.
A natto,
which gives it a little bit of color.
Gives it the color, and then you salt it, salt and pepper. Basic is basic stuff on that. And then you stew your meat, your pork. So you take a shoulder, you chop it up into small pieces, and you make like a stew with it. Mm-hmm. And then you add your green olives and potatoes and your seasonings to it. And then you add that into the mixture, mm-hmm. and you fold it into like an envelope.
Listen, when my grandmother used to make those, I used to go into that pot and whip out like four and just slab them on a plate and just sit there and eat them with ketchup and hot sauce.
So now that we're on the Christmas topic,
uh-huh.
I made you watch a movie on Friday.
Uh-huh. Jingle bells, single all the way.
Oh, you guys watched it?
I did. You watch it?
I watched it a week ago.
Yeah, it was cute. It was cute. And then I realized that the main actor,
Michael Urie,
the main protagonist, was actually an Ugly Betty back in the days. You remember with America
Ferrera? You realized? Yeah.
Yeah, like launched his career.
Right. And then the other actor who was in Brothers and Sisters, who I find
he's so hot,
so gorgeous. And then the other main protagonist, which of course was his best friend, supposedly, and then ended up being his love interest, who was also amazingly just as hot.
Cute.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching it, and there was a scene when they're laying on the bed, and the hell was his name? The Moreno. He was laying on the bed, right, and shirtless, and I go tell my wife, "Oh, he shaves his chest," like didn't even realize what I was telling her, and I was like, you could see the stubbles, and I was like, you could tell he's a hairy guy, and just looking at the movie, I realized he basically shaved mm-hmm. for the movie,
right?
Yeah. I was like, that dude's a bear.
You know, it was funny because I was on Friday.
And Kathy Najimy as the mother.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Gold. Yeah. Gold.
Oh, my God.
She should get an Emmy for that.
Also, who was the aunt? What's her name? Help me.
Oh, she was in...
I don't understand why gay men love me so much.
Oh, yeah.
She was in...
Stifler's mom. Oh,
in Schitt's Creek.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why am I blanking?
She played Mayor Schitt's wife in Schitt's Creek.
It was
amazing, though. It was a good movie.
But I think, so before we watched it, on Friday when I was at work, I was talking with a coworker who is an older gay man who very great, interesting man. But we were talking about Lifetime movies because we both love them. And he was like, we started talking about Single All the Way, and he's like, I just never thought in my lifetime I would ever see a movie like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's
it was very
true for
Hallmark-ish.
A lot of
people.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Right. Well, I mean, but it belongs on Lifetime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of other movies that were made. Another one was released last year that we watched together. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Christmas Setup.
Right. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. I got my list.
She's a mess. And she's
Jennifer
devoted.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Thank you. Yes.
I had to look it up. It was going to be insane.
Jennifer.
On the bottom left hand.
Oh, Jennifer Coolidge is the one that was in Legally Blonde. So she's the one that tried the bend and snap and broke.
I'm taking the dog, bitch.
Yeah, and she broke the freaking like UPS guy's nose. Yeah, that's her. But then the other actress, Jennifer Robertson, is the one that was in Schitt's Creek. She played the mayor's wife.
Yes,
In Schitt's Creek. So it was a good cast. The two nieces were conniving and trying to get them together was amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's all we're going to say. So, watch it.
So in the movie, you know that there's the guy that sings the Christmas carols in the bar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, he's Kathy and Jimmy's real life husband.
Really?
Oh. And he does have a band.
The one that was singing the Christmas songs?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And he actually has a band. He plays in a band.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I was like, why does he look familiar? I forget where it was that I saw them. And it was driving me insane. And I'm telling my wife, I know this fucking guy from somewhere.
She's like, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to have to Google this. And then I was like, oh, of course. Yeah.
Right. No, but it was a good movie.
It was good.
It was clean. So, you know, there's no like profanity. Well, maybe not. I don't remember. And so it's a great family movie, and we encourage that, you know, watch it with your family, and it's a good way to sort of kind of, you know, start up the topic, as long as you have a family that can actually like sit down and talk, mm-hmm. Might be a good way to start, you know, the conversation around, you know, gay relationships and expectations, you know, what you think a gay relationship is versus what I know it is, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would lead to something good, something positive.
I thought it was a nice movie.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I think that's pretty much all we did that day, right? Oh, yeah. We ordered pizza and wings, yeah. And then Nick bounced on me and left all early.
It was like 11:30.
I know, and she went home. I was like, who are you?
That's not that's not early.
Yes, it is for us. Oh, my God. I'm starting.
Well, yeah, Lord, have mercy. Contagious.
I'm telling you.
Maybe it's like.
She needs to knock it loose.
Covina.
Yeah.
Another version.
Oh, Lord. Omicron. So.
Did you see the the text I sent you guys?
The TikTok.
So, you know, I was when we were first talking about Omicron, and I was like, I've heard this name before, and we started making fun of saying it was, and it's from the TV show Planet Express. What's the name of that fucking cartoon?
I don't know, but I saw that.
But yeah. So there's an alien an alien species.
Captain Planet?
No.
Maybe?
No. Planet Express. Planet Express, okay. I think, is the name of the cartoon. But there's an alien planet, and the name of the planet is Omicron Persei 8.
Omicron
Persei 8 is the name of the planet they call it. So somebody would actually created a TikTok of the Omicron thing, and it shows the monster from the galaxy. Like threatening Earth. We're coming to Earth and we're going to kill you all.
Oh, well, they sure did.
Yep.
I have one quick thing to add before we go to break, because Jay has been sending a lot of stuff in our group message. And let me just ask where this came from, because I found it a little hurtful.
What?
Your chances of being killed by a penguin are low, but never zero.
But never zero.
What the fuck does that? Where did that come from?
I mean, it's true.
Well, that's actually from a video. So the guy, there's a bunch of penguins that you see in the picture. There's a bunch of penguins, and some of them are walking around, but they're kind of, and that one penguin is just staring at the guy the whole time, like dead staring. So as he's zooming into the penguin,
that one penguin looks a little freaky.
Yeah, right. he's like it's never zero. So that penguin's contemplating something. Mm-hmm. And every time I see something with penguins, I automatically think of you and your gay penguin story. So I have to send it. It's like a new thing for me now.
It's everybody's obsessed with penguins.
Sorry.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you all for bearing with us through this first half.
Nobody's been through me.
Barreling. Yeah. Well, on that note.
Let's go to break.
We're going to leave you all with some music. We'll come back on the other side of that. We have the amazing Dr. G. So stick around. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. Got a knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. so much terror in our past. How are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. Station where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names, 'cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Welcome back from the break, ladies and gents. That, of course, was Wastelands by the amazing Amanda Barrick. Her album is available on all the major music streaming services, and we encourage that you go out and support your LGBTQ plus artiste. Joining us now, of course, is the amazing Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. This month, we're going to be talking about something that sounds pretty painful, and quite honestly, I don't know what it is, but that's why we have the amazing doctor joining us, so that he can tell us all about it. And it is basically talking about the dangers of a lateral internal sphincterotomies. Did I say that right?
Sphincterotomy. No.
Sphincterotomy. I knew I was going to screw it up. And of course, it has to be while the doctor's here. Hi, Dr. G. How are you?
How you guys doing? How's everything?
We're doing good. It's great to see your face again.
Do you guys hear me? Because I'm on like a headset. Are we good? Clear? Yeah. You guys are happy with this?
Oh, you look fine. It's fantastic.
You look great.
You look fantastic.
Why, did we send you something? Did we say go get a headset or something?
No. It was just I was doing it because my kids were listening to like all my ass Skype calls before. Ah. So I just had them on. And then I just figured it would just translate into you guys wear headsets. So I was like, fuck it. I want one too.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, speaking of your children, your son Phoenix is something else. That little love note that he just sent you is so cute. It's the cutest little thing ever.
When I was coming in to do the podcast, he's like, was that the one I was on where we talked about you and Trump and all these others? Uh-huh. I was like, yes. I was like,
He's adorable. You did a good job with that little man. Good job.
Before we dive in, though.
So you said, go.
Do you have a horse?
No. But a lot of our neighbors, it's a big horse country up here.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of our neighbors and friends do. So we were out riding yesterday, and the sun was setting, and the horses were there, and I was like, this is pretty fucking magical.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Trish was all about it. She was like, I want to go horseback riding with Dr. G.
Well, I mean, I love horseback riding, but horseback riding with Dr. G, I mean,
yeah.
Does it get better than that?
Yeah, so, but, you know, soon enough, maybe, we'll see. They're a little bit much, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, hey, listen. If we get an opportunity to do it, I'm on a horse. I don't know if the horse can take me, but, you know, I'll be there.
It'll take you.
I mean, I told you, my best friend's mom has a gay horse, so.
Stop.
Yeah,
100%. What's the horse's name?
Ferdinand.
Oh, I was going to say.
And he eats hay.
You're not wrong.
So, Dr. G, why don't you tee us up on what we're going to be discussing today? Obviously, I've already mentioned a little bit about it, but I couldn't do that word justice, so I'm going to leave it up to the professional.
Yeah, sure. So, lateral internal sphincterotomies are kind of the heteronormative way to approach anal fissures.
Okay.
And anal fissures are tears. They happen with shitting and with sex. And the tears we speak a lot about simply so that people understand that when there's a tear, the tear itself is painful. There's bleeding. There's limitations with shitting and with sex. And if it goes on for too long a period, you wind up having this kind of chronic scar tissue that is there, either with a skin tag that just aesthetically you see extra skin, or that the scar tissue is very, very weak. So with shitting and or with sex, when you engage in those activities, the scar tissue may tear, may cause pain, bleeding, or this kind of burning sensation that just limits your everyday life.
Well, what drew me to the story, because we've talked about anal fissures on the show over and over again. Right. And actually, in the article, you talk about beating a dead horse or whatever exactly you said. But the reality is, in the story, it literally said, the client said, it felt like my asshole split. Now, what does that mean? Did his asshole literally, like, split?
Split? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so the client spoke about like 10 years at, you know, before I saw him, he was having sex, pretty girthy, pretty big cock. And what he felt was exactly that, a split. And the sensation could be twofold. One is the muscle may actually tear, or a portion of the muscle may tear, or the overlying skin. And it's a little bit hard from a distinction to tell. Though a lot of people with, let's say, muscle tearing, they feel looser. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, my sensations during sex, or I'm gaping a little bit more, or not that I'm shitting myself, but like I just feel like I'm just not fully clean. Those are some symptoms, a little bit more of like maybe my muscle was a little bit too stretched during that. I have definitely seen people, remember, there's three sets of muscles. There's two external, and then there's one internal. And I've definitely seen people kind of snap literally and break one of those external or superficial muscles. And they just feel like they can't close so tight anymore, or that they're gaping. Now, on the other set of this is the overlying skin, did that tear? And that's mostly what happens, especially with these kind of acute and chronic fissures, where the muscle is a little bit tighter, or you're trying to fully relax, but it's a big dick or whatnot, or a position is a weird position, and you're, they're being more aggressive. And then what happens is that the skin itself just goes to its maximal capacity. And then it, when it goes beyond, it basically causes a cut.
That so sounds very painful.
When I was reading this and I heard, you know, or read split in my brain, and I don't know if this is a thing or could be a thing, but can you get sepsis, or like, can your bowels leak into your body if you actually like split your asshole?
So very, very good, astute question. So two ways. One is that, because you have an open sore, basically an open cut, the blood vessels are exposed and there's a lot of inflammation in the area. And when you are shitting, yes, there are definitely people that say they get chills, or that after they go to the restroom, they just don't feel right. There's like a little bit of that kind of flu-like symptomology when the shit's passing through, and they get this little bit of, yeah, localized issues. Now, because the pelvis, where the ass is, we're talking about, there's no real dead space for bacteria to go. Meaning, like, yes, you can get a localized abscess, you can get like a pimple in the area, but to get full-blown sepsis is a little bit different. Like, let's say the colon perforated or your appendix perforated, when that happens, there's so much infection in a large space. But anally, because it's so localized, it's mostly just kind of local issues that I would deal with. Anal pain, bleeding, localized abscess. I have never seen truly to that degree, unless they're like immunocompromised with either HIV or a cancer, a lymphoma, something else that's predisposing that.
So I in reading the story, you know, one of the first things that, you know, this individual describes is the fact that this partner that he shared this experience with was a bit rougher than usual. And so I wanted to highlight the importance of, one, lubricating correctly, and also, you know, using things like toys and stuff to prepare yourself for something that might be this big and massive. I mean, if you're not used to, especially if like you're trying anal for the first time, do you, clearly we know that, that you believe that preparing yourself properly is the ideal way of avoiding having situations like this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, I think, you know, we speak a lot of, preventative understanding. And first off, if you're seeing a big, huge dick, sometimes you just have to say no. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, I mean, I know we all want it. I know it's like, whoa, that's fucking awesome. I want that in my ass. But the reality is that what I tell people is, if you are able to take that, meaning with a toy, with a dildo, something of that size, and you've worked yourself up to that, then I am totally fine with you sitting or attempting to sit, but understanding that you may have to stop or take some break or communicate with your partner to make sure that, like, you're in control and you're like, hey, that's fucking way big for my ass. Let's see if I can take it, instead of just having the guy behind you and then him just, you know, not really pre-lubricating, just trying to stick it in and going to that, you know, craziness. So right. I think you're right. I think that, you know, using toys before, going to dildos that are a little bit bigger, you know, creating a good understanding of skin and muscle and using relaxation techniques and proving to yourself that you're able to get into a good space. Now, I'll support you whichever way you go. Sometimes you're so hot and heavy that you want to take it and things happen. And that's obviously what happened in this situation. But I think the key is for us to constantly keep talking about it and look at ways to minimize as much trauma as possible so that you can do what you want when you want.
It's interesting because, you know, when you think of it in the perspective of this being a hookup, sometimes if you're hooking up with someone that you've never hooked up with before, you don't know what you're getting, right? Man can come in, drop his pants and have it be, you know, smaller than you expect, or it could just be like freaking, you know, what's the oh my god, the Incredible Hulk just pops out of his pants and you're like, what the hell, oh my god, that's huge. And so you're right, I mean, we have to think about the possibility of that happening and you're being like, yeah, we can't do this right now, I'm not prepared for this. But because, you know, in reality, the only other option you have is to send the guy home with blue balls, because, you know, he was expecting to get off.
You can put that shit in your mouth.
Or
rock his baby to sleep. That's, if it's that big.
Rock my baby. Or you can, like, invite him to help you prepare for the fact that he's about to, like, completely decimate your hole with this monstrosity of a weapon that he's carrying in his pants that probably needs a license and a warning. Mm-hmm. So how do you think a bottom who encounters a situation like this should approach the situation in regards to using toys while engaging with a hookup with a person they didn't know was that big?
Well, and two, on top of that, like, what, you know, we talk a lot about prep, right? Prepping for getting a good dick down, right?
Right.
But what, how much time do we actually need to be spending on this?
I think that, again, you know, when you look at, like, our sexual habits, most bottoms are bottoming about 2 to 3 times a week. And if they are doing that 2 to 3 times a week, realistically, that's quite a good amount for run-of-the-mill sex, where you don't necessarily need to constantly be dilating and working the tissue. Now, but I do think a couple of things with dilation is that, you know, that's run-of-the-mill sex. Now, if you start going to, like, bigger toys, bigger dicks, fists, other things, you have to really start working the tissue, both the muscle and the skin, to fully allow that relaxation. You know, at some point, the skin and the muscle reach its point of maximal relaxation. And that itself then leads us to a point where if you go beyond that, it's going to cause splitting, tearing, fissures, hemorrhoids, all these other issues that may happen. And you can get yourself there by gradually working the tissue. And it's no different than, like, you know, if you're constantly picking up your skin, let's say, over time, what's going to happen is the skin is going to start to get a little bit more elastic. And that's what we're trying to really work with, both the pelvic floor and the skin. It's not going to be, oh, I did it for one day and I'm ready to take that huge cock. No, it's, you know, when I talk about dilation, I talk about 4 to 6 weeks of initial dilation to get you into a good space with muscle relaxation and skin elasticity. Then we're starting to have sex and you're using that to keep it into a good space. And then depending upon where you want to go, now you need, like, all right, well, I want to take a fist. Well, that's going to take a couple of months of, like, working the tissue, understanding anatomy, and slowly. And again, everybody's tissue is so different that you have to kind of look at your own progression. Now, we speak a lot about dilating, but if you're having 2 to 3 times a week anal sex and pushing the limits, you need to use toys and contract on the toys to really keep the muscle so that over time, we're not having issues of incontinence, gas leakage, et cetera. So I think it's just, it behooves all of us to really understand the anatomy. It's not overtly complicated. It's skin and muscle. And we're working the skin and the muscle to allow for us to take what we want, depending upon the size and where we want to go with it. And then once you understand the anatomy, you can kind of start implementing these specific changes in your life so that we're able to strategically do it in a way that doesn't cause this injury. Does that make sense?
It yeah, does.
100%.
So is there an instance where you would see this occur more frequently as opposed to just regular anal sex? For instance, you mentioned fisting.
I think that the fisting community is actually a really great community because they talk to each other. They're communicative. They are understanding anatomy. And so actually, I don't really see a lot of fisters. I see them more because they're over time, they may have a little bit more prolapse or a hemorrhoid becomes an issue, or they may be a little bit looser where we're working to keep them in the confines so they don't have issues. I think it's the people that go from nothing to something big, or they're taking average dick and they're like, oh, fuck it, that's huge, I want that in my ass. Or, you know, they're not.
So if you're not getting railed frequently and then all of a sudden you have an encounter and there you go.
Totally.
Okay.
He pulls his pants down. Steve Bannon says hi. And before you know it, it's the Incredible Hulk. Yep.
That's right. And I think that that's where you start to see it. Now, also, small dicks. I see a lot of people have issues with small dicks because what happens is the dick comes out so easily that it, like, starts poking and jabbing, and the guy is, like, trying to keep it in and get a little bit more aggressive. And sometimes people say that the small dicks can cause more issues just because it's a little bit more pokey, you know, whereas at least if it's like a big dick, if it's inside you, it's kind of like in, you know. And the other thing I think people need to understand is that when you take the dick, when the dick goes in and out, it's like the takeoff and landing is usually the parts where there's injury that happens. So with bigger dicks, don't let it come all the way out. You know what I'm saying? Like leave it in and just create the motion so that everybody's getting off and you feel sexy. But the second you have to come out and reset, now the muscles are back to being tighter, and now you have to kind of replay the whole scene again, and that may also be causing some issues.
I blame the porno industry because a lot of pornos out there show these guys pounding the shit out of, you know, willing bottoms. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I really don't, but I blame the people who decide people to be hungry enough to take on a beast.
I think people that think porno is a guide to having sex. Porno's nice to watch, but it's not a guide.
Right. So let me ask you a question. So the process in itself, or this process that you're talking about, it's called lateral internal sphincterotomy. And you say that they're dangerous to having this procedure. This is a procedure, correct?
Yeah, so it's a procedure that's done for the treatment of these tears we're talking about, anal fissures. And let's just talk about the heteronormative fissure. This is not someone that's having sex. This is not someone that was taking dick for a while without any issues. This is, let's say, a straight bro who takes a shit and their muscle is so tight that when they shit, they tear. Mm-hmm. And now with Botox and relaxation and other ways to manage it, most people don't go directly to a lateral internal sphincterotomy. But what the old approach was is the muscle is the culprit. The muscle is the tight issue that's not allowing this person to shit. Cut a little bit of the muscle to now decrease the pressure, allowing the fissure to heal. But in our space, most people come to me and they've been able to take dick for a while. Now, there's definitely some people that come to me and the muscle is too tight and we're using Botox and dilating and physical therapy and what to work with the tissue. But in 12 years of me practicing, I have never done a sphincterotomy. I've never needed to do a lateral internal sphincterotomy for our community. And the reason is that when you cut that muscle, you can't get that muscle back.
Right.
What happens is that it can lead to looseness. It could lead to incontinence. It could lead to a lot of potential complications when the fact of the matter is that if I was taking dick for a long time and I developed a tear, the tear was most likely not from the muscle, was from the actual skin splitting from the pressures of sex, the positions, the girth, not necessarily the muscle. So I talk about this because I want people to understand that the treatment for our community is usually not the lateral internal sphincterotomy. And because the hetero physician, the hetero surgeon knows no difference, they are lumping everybody into the old school method and have never evolved to think of what community somebody is in and what are they using it for. Mm-hmm. And how do we now make sure our surgical techniques have evolved to really make sure the betterment of that population is taken care of.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good point, though, because in the article you talk about the fact that, well, this individual talks about the fact that indirectly, I mean, he went to the wrong doctor. He got the, you know, the wrong procedure done until he found you, I think it was 10 years later. So when you find yourself in a situation, and I know we've talked about it on the show, but I think it's important to reiterate, when you find yourself in a situation where you need to see a doctor and you don't have access to Dr. Goldstein, what are the questions you need to ask before you allow somebody to go in there and cut your fucking sphincter?
Well, first off, I wouldn't let them cut the sphincter at all. Simply if, especially if they don't have everything documented with anal manometry showing super, super issues in terms of tightness, also speaking to make sure that they understand. I think one of the things I always say is kind of let the physician or the surgeon kind of start the discussions and really see if they're able to truly understand you as an individual. Meaning, are they asking you sexual questions in the right way? Are they communicative to say, hey, how do you use the ass? How do you identify? Do you identify? Start making sure that you feel comfortable to say, hey, this is my community, this is who I am, and this is what I'm using it for. The other is like, do you take care of gay or individuals that engage anally and from a sexual perspective? And what's your approach? And kind of really start to question them. And then believe me, you know, you'll see the typical white geezer guy who doesn't want to talk about it. And then I usually say, you just need to say thank you very much and walk away and not approach that. You know, there's a couple of things that you need to understand with this. One is that chronic fissures, especially in this guy had chronic fissure, which is that tear that developed into significant scar tissue, and the scar tissue itself developed into skin tag that's there. And when you're having sex with that, all of that tissue gets pulled in and pushed out, and the recurring tearing keeps happening. It has nothing to do with the muscle. So cutting a muscle doesn't actually take care of the current issue. You need to clean up the scar tissue. You need to get rid of any of the extra tissue that causes that friction to happen and set the stage for its healing. And now we have other things like Botox. Botox itself relaxes the muscle temporarily. It does a far better job than the sphincterotomy, which is that cutting. And it's temporary, meaning in 4 months when you're healed and you're taking dick and you feel great, that wears off in a way that now you're back to your normal anatomy versus having some fucking dumb schmuck just cut the goddamn muscle. And now they actually didn't even take care of the issue at hand, which was that extra skin and the scar tissue.
So two follow-up questions. First of all, Jay had brought up to me earlier today, he was talking about prolapse. So now we have scar tissue, we have skin tags, we have all this friction happening. When you find yourself in a situation like that, is there a higher chance for having prolapse happen?
Prolapse is a little bit different. You know, when you think of prolapse, you have to think of twofold. You have to think of hemorrhoids. So hemorrhoids are these veins that are there as like airbags and they're cushions. So when we're shitting or having sex, blood goes into the airbag to kind of help disperse the force of shitting and with sex or with lifting weights, etc. Now, if we're pushing too much, if we're having too much sex and it's a little bit more aggressive, if we're squatting and we're not really breathing, these hemorrhoids can become symptomatic where they start becoming a little bit bigger and they may prolapse out and go in and out with this kind of inflammation. There's also what's called rectal prolapse, which is a lot in the fisting community, where over time, the muscle that keeps everything in and in place becomes lax and becomes so relaxed that a portion of the insides is going in and out. Usually you don't see so much prolapse with fissures because a lot of the fissures create that muscle tension that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think that nobody is, I don't want you to think that there's not muscle tension there with fissures. There is. The issue that I have is that it's not the primary ailment. The primary ailment is the fissure and the skin tag causing the muscle to spasm, not the muscle spasming causing the fissure to happen. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yes.
So the approach for anal, specifically if you've been taking dick for a while, it's not a muscle issue. You've had no problems before. So why is the muscle spasming now? Well, it's spasming because of the cut that's there. When the cut happens, it exposes the muscle. The muscle only knows how to react. Mm-hmm. Now, if you just take care of the muscle with the sphincterotomy, you're not taking care of the reason why that developed.
Right.
And that is where the surgical approach needs to be altered to say, okay, take care of the primary issue, use Botox to help take care of that spasm until the primary issue is healed. Mm-hmm. And then now you're back to your normal anatomy, but yet with a healed ass, allowing you to get to where you need to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, 100%. I just assumed that because you have all this friction happening that a prolapse could happen easier, but I guess that's not the case.
Well, if the tension is not there, it potentially becomes easier for something like that to happen. All anal
issues, yes. I mean, I see people with fissures and tears that develop into a hemorrhoid because of the spasming and all of this type of stuff. Usually, I don't see prolapse in that context. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's someone that's having sex, they're taking dick, they're having fun, but yet they start to see like either a little bit of bleeding, or they'll notice like when they're kind of pushing out, or that there's a little bit of something that's prolapsing in and out, like a little pinker inside. And over time, what happens is that it's like, let's say it goes out, but it recedes on its own. Over time, it may prolapse out and stay prolapsed, or that you actually need to push it back with your finger in order to get it in the proper positioning. That's a little bit different than what we're talking about now.
So my final question I had about this whole situation was, we're talking about the the potential of, you know, seeing a doctor that doesn't actually do the right thing for you. But knowing myself, if I were in a situation like this, I'm paranoid. And if I felt literally during sex like my asshole split, I would want to go to the hospital, or I might be in so much pain that I'm at the hospital. Is there something that you would recommend to an ER doctor for, like, individuals like myself? If I was there, I'm like, no, I don't want you to do this, but can you do this until I can get to Dr. Goldstein?
Well, I think that most emergency room docs are not going to do crazy shit when you see them. I think they'll probably prescribe, you know, a suppository, cocoa butter suppositories I really like. There's a couple of medications that are prescribed that help to numb the area, relax the muscle a little bit with what's called a calcium channel blocker or nifedipine or nitroglycerin. And they'll kind of just pain control and give you a little bit more of that, Epsom salt baths, and just kind of getting you through the issue. Obviously, we need to make sure that there's no STDs and that that's not compounding the issue. So really make sure. Don't let anybody go crazy by sticking shit up your ass when you're in that much pain. They should be able to look externally and see the pathology. I see here so many people that have digital exams by these docs when you're in so much pain. It's like, no, you fucking defer that shit. Don't let anybody do that unless, you know, obviously you're in this kind of stage where you feel like it'll help with the diagnostic and you can take it. Most fissures can be visible externally and you could see them. And you should be able to, with the history and the understanding, be treated in the right way supportively until we're able to do the next phase. Some people are able to do Botox right away within the first, you know, healing phase to help with taking some of that pressure off. But most of it is supportive, whether it's fissures or hemorrhoids. And then once we get you into a good state, a lot of people heal on their own without doing anything, with just taking time off, making sure you're using the right creams, lotions, suppositories, make sure your shits are soft and easy, baths, Epsom salt, and just take time over a week to 10 days to get you into a good space. Then once you're in a good space, I usually tell people to let time take its course. And if you're shitting well, no pain, no bleeding, then we could start the dilating protocol with using toys to see if we can get you back to sex safely. We'll know from the toys or just with shitting if things aren't going in the right direction on their own, where maybe we do Botox in the office, or we find someone locally that can do that. Or maybe you've been dealing with this for a long time and sex itself has never been truly pleasurable, but yet you've been able to take it and there is a chronic issue that we need to do surgically. And now I do a lot of Skype calls. Monday's my Skype calls. I just did 6 calls with people from all over the world. There's a lot that we can do via Skype to kind of create understanding of anatomy and local treatments and try to come up with. I don't necessarily need to see you in the office to create a pathway of us figuring out what's best and kind of getting people into a good space. Mm-hmm. And especially early on, the earlier you act with this type of stuff, the better we are to kind of implement easier stuff than having to rush and then go through surgery.
So am I correct in saying that what I'm taking away from this conversation is that while the sphincterotomy is a fairly routine procedure for individuals, regardless of community, the danger in one of these comes in the LGBTQ plus community, specifically with men, because we use our anus for something more than just, you know, dumping waste.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. I think that the reality is that if I saw a lateral internal sphincterotomy improving the outcome, I would obviously be doing it in my practice of 75 people a week, 15 surgeries a week.
Right.
The issue is that it's not taking care of the problem. So you wind up being like this person where they go in, they cut the muscle that didn't need to be cut from the beginning. They don't take care of the primary issue, the extra skin, the fissure itself, and do the right thing to decrease the friction on a sexual perspective. And even in this person with lateral sphincterotomies, you're basically only cutting one side of the muscle. So what happens is the remainder of the muscle still contracts in a way that impedes healing. So you wind up actually not doing anything good. And that's where I find so many people. Now, look, if it's just shitting that you're looking for, of, hey, I just want to shit without a problem, even though I don't think the sphincterotomy is the right way to go, at least it gets people into some element of a good approach. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about just from a sex perspective, it's not the right treatment. And I would never, ever, ever, any sphincterotomy that I would ever have to do would have to be after the Botox fails multiple times. Because why wouldn't I try to use Botox first to show that cutting the muscle would actually be beneficial for this patient instead of the assumption that it's actually going to do its job? And the reality is that 9 times out of 10, it's the totally wrong operation for the wrong client in the wrong community.
Well, that's certainly a lot of insightful information. And I think that from the information that we've shared here today, a lot of people can now say, okay, hey, if a doctor ever said to me, I think that we need to do a sphincterotomy on you, that you could pause and recollect yourself and say, I need more options, right? And also take an opportunity to reach out to other people for second opinions, because that may not be the correct way to go.
But also, how many doctors even think to use Botox in the asshole?
You know, people do, for sure. I think that it's definitely out there. There's a lot of literature that looks at Botox usage versus lateral sphincterotomies. It's definitely a newer approach. People don't feel comfortable doing it. And again, it's also, their normal is it getting you back to shitting? And we speak about this all the time, whether it's aesthetics or functional. Their approach is, are you able to live life but from shitting? And that's their normal of like, oh, that's a successful operation. Mm-hmm. But clearly, if we're taking it up the ass and sex is important and bottoming is what you want to be, then the reality is that that's not the end point of success. The end point of success is getting you back to the sexual world that you so desire. And with this guy, you know, obviously he was partnered at the time. It ruined his relationship. His partner didn't want to stick around and walk him through the process. It was quite a long time. He couldn't find anybody and really just kind of put this to the wayside. And until we wound up really being able to say, hey, simple things can change people's lives. And again, my surgery is not crazy innovative. It's not very difficult. It's just thinking differently. And I just make sure that anybody that's listening to this starts to kind of, I hopefully impart some of this wisdom where you're able to start asking the right questions. And if you're not getting the answers that are aligning with what we're talking about, then, you know, you put the brakes on and say, hold on a second. This is not a crazy emergent situation. Do your due diligence. Let's make sure that we're doing all the right things and supporting everybody in the community the right way.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, Dr. G, once again, you know, your knowledge and your ability to communicate information to our community is clearly invaluable in the sense that you're here to help. And there's a lot of doctors out there that are also there to help, and having the right conversation and having the right tools and the right procedures will surely make everyone's life a lot easier to bear up the bum.
Yeah. Well, that was a boatload exactly. of information.
It was. So listen, again, thank you for taking time out of your day, your busy day on a Monday to join us on the show. But before we let you go, holidays are upon us. Christmas is right around the corner. So is New Year's. What are your plans?
We're just going to hang locally. You know, we're in a good phase with the boys. We'll be back and forth into the city and kind of hanging out here and, you know, living the dream. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Get all those gifts all squared away.
Oh, talk to Santa. I mean, these kids are ridiculous.
PS5s for everyone.
Yeah. So, you get a PS5. You get a PS5. You get a PS5.
Dr. G, I just want an iPad. That's it.
He's a mess. No, well, that's good. Well, I want to wish you and your family you know, the best holiday season ever. I'm not sure, you know, what you celebrate, because we've never had really that conversation.
We celebrate so everything.
Whatever you celebrate, may it be merry, may it be healthy, may it be full of love. You know, you're doing such an amazing job with those two, with your children. And I think, you know, after 2020, we need to make Christmases and holidays special, because it was quite a ride.
Yeah, thank you guys, and always for your support, and have a great holidays. And 2022, we'll continue the Ass Talk moving forward for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, ladies and gents, that is the amazing Dr. G giving us our very last Tales from the Tale for 2021. Thank you again, Dr. G.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, absolutely. Doc. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Love
you
all. Bye-bye.
Well, all I can say is that...
that was a buttload.
I wasn't sure what a sphincterotomy actually entailed, but you know, a cutting of a muscle, obviously, you know, it sounds very intense and painful. But now after this conversation, clearly, if I ever found myself in a situation in where I had to, whoa, stop. You're gonna do what?
Honey, that's a black hole back there. You're never gonna find yourself in that situation.
You're probably right. Wow. So
I think I'd have more of a chance at a sphincterotomy than you would.
Yes. Why couldn't that
you
one
said
be?
It.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, you. You are in a heterosexual relationship. As a bisexual man, if you were to ever try to bottom and you really never really engaged in that, there's a potential that you could, you know, hurt yourself.
Absolutely.
Because let me tell you, some of these tops are brutal. Like I said before, you know, you expect they pull their pants down and Steve Bannon shows up. Steve Banner.
Steve right? Banner, yes.
From MCU. Incredible. He shows up and then all of a sudden it grows and it's like for the fucking Incredible Hulk. And you're like, you're going to put that where? And then we get ballsy. We're like, I can take that. And I just throw myself on the bed and just go for it. And then, you know, you end up hurting yourself.
Well, let me say that as a bottom, you have to take control.
Right.
If it hurts, you push back and say, give me a moment.
See, that's the problem. If I push back, it goes deeper.
No, I mean, like, you use your hands and you push back. Say, well, I need a second.
No,
I need a second.
Need to adjust.
You know, and also, let this serve as an educational moment for you tops out there. You can cause someone some serious damage by being brute and just wanting to just ram it in there.
This entire conversation, all I could think about was Brokeback Mountain.
Right, because there was that one scene where he just like spits on his hand, wraps, you know, puts the Vaseline with the saliva on his penis and just rams it in. Yeah.
I thought that was
but anyway, what a great conversation, and always having an opportunity to talk to Dr. G is great. So I think that's all we have for today's show, and I want to thank everyone for you know, sticking around, and obviously for entertaining our conversations with Dr. G, because he's just incredible and amazing. And let's move it along. So I'm going to toss it over to our girl Trish over here. I'm going to give her some love so that she can jump right into Mama Kin's Minute.
Thank you. All right, Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, Wonder Woman is in a queer romance in new DC comic series. Number two, best-selling LGBTQ plus book on Amazon is an anti-transgender picture book.
Yeah.
Number three, the Skittles dispensing bed can be yours for just $1.50. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, well, so the Skittles dispensing bed
can be yours for $1.50.
Are you sure it's only $1.50?
Yeah.
Skittles dispensing bed. So
taste the rainbow, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Number four, pro wrestler Anthony Bowens has received a flood of love and support after kissing his boyfriend in front of a crowd of homophobic protesters.
Yes. I love hearing stories like that. Speaking of books, so the book that we talked about last week, where it had all of the posters that we use for HIV.
Oh, you bought it.
And
yeah.
It arrived. It's sitting on my coffee table upstairs. And oh my God, it's amazing. Get it. Amazing. Anyway, go. Do you want your love?
We can skip it today. We need to find a shorter version of that or something different. It takes too long. But on this day in gay history, when December 13th, 2002, where in Belgium, the Belgium Senate approved same-sex marriage law. So the law goes on to be signed by King Albert II on February 13th, making Belgium the second country to legalize same-sex marriage. The vote was 46 to 15.
Yes, and that was way back in 2002. We had to wait literally 13 years for us to be able to get to that point. So, I love Belgium. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ladies and gents, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, we get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation or buy this bitch an iPad because she's going to drive me bananas. And you can make those donations in any denomination of a dollar or more, and we are forever grateful. So I'm going to toss it over to Jay.
Next week, we don't welcome anyone. So next week, we welcome our basic white girl Coquito for the group. Yes. So I'll be bringing some Coquito in for the group right. So we can enjoy. And I guess that'll be our, is that going to be our last episode before the end of the year?
Coquito has cinnamon.
Yes, it does.
So if Chris is in studio next
week,
add extra cinnamon.
She doesn't like it.
Not that we're saying that he'll be here. Yeah. He may or may not.
It has it, so she won't be able to have any. I'll make some without a little bit for her.
Okay.
Don't indulge her. She might not even show up. She's still going to school, by the way. No animosity there. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So thank you, of course, to the wonderful, sexy man. That is Dr. Evan Goldstein. What a great conversation today.
Yes, it was. It really was. All right. And now here's Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep your buttholes on point. Yes, we're talking about the Future Method and all of the amazing products and lines that show up with it. So let me give her some love because she'll kill me if I don't.
The perfect holiday gift.
Uh-huh.
Get the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. Visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser today.
Yas, queen. All right. Are you ready for it?
I guess so.
I forgot. Where is it? Where is it? Is it here?
What's with the phone?
I fucking love it. Rickety.
And as always, it is time to put a ring on it. And our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. Nick, over to you.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com. Tom, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Oh, shit. All right. Well, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest a topic, submit a question for the cast or a host. You can also call us. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.